you're locked in. We're going to let the intro music fade out as I press this button. And now it's just pure bliss. We are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of us right now. We don't know if any more are coming because I invite people throughout the week and then I completely forget who's coming. Like, one of our guests today was walking in and I had no idea who. I really didn't know who he was.
Like, who's this?
I'm like, what are you here for? Like, the podcast? All right, great.
Open House Sunday.
Open House Sunday. We have Kate's chicken pot pie. She made a chicken pot pie. Ralph
amazing
brought bagels. We'd like to acknowledge the bagels. Where'd you get the bagels today?
Jim's.
Jim's bagels.
Yeah.
Jim's bagel. Fantastic. With the bacon.
They were warm when they came, too.
Oh, wow.
They were warm.
What kind of cream cheese is that?
Bacon and chive.
Bacon and chive.
Delicious.
Giddy up.
There you go.
But I didn't have any honey, just in case my wife's listening. I had the water and...
he didn't have any.
Egg whites.
He had three.
Egg whites. We have Ralph with us today.
Good morning, Gloucester.
We have a podcast virgin, Chris Spittle, with us, a.k.a. Cape Ann Weather.
Howdy.
There he is. I'm psyched to have him. I have a bunch of questions. Bunch of questions.
Is it cold outside?
He's got stuff in front of him, too. He came prepared. It's always good when the guests
nobody can see this, see?
Yeah, yeah. Right.
I kept thinking about that. Nobody can see what I got.
You can legitimately look straight down and not even engage with us and just rattle off
now,
your
if you
answers.
Look at this graph.
Maybe he could add to the controversy about the song, Baby, It's Cold Outside.
Well, it's a non-controversy as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
So, Chris McCarthy's with us.
He came prepared, unlike the host.
Yes.
Good morning, Gloucester. Happy birthday, Joe.
I rely on all my...
You say that every week?
Every week. <he's... laughs>
How many dog years are you?
And Kim Smith is with us.
Good morning, Gloucester.
All right. First up, a little order of business. We get more recognition and boost up in search engines if you review us on iTunes. And I left a link in the show notes. It's at the very top of the show notes. So if you take a little bit of time and you just go to the link and press 5 stars, if you feel like you like the podcast,
right,
we would appreciate it.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, you know what? People have to understand, if you just press 1 star, that isn't a good review. I think when people press it, sometimes they think that 1 star is a good thing, but you got to go to, like... You had to go all the way to all 5 stars.
5 stars. Yeah, right. We want 5 stars. Right.
No, I gave a 1 star, and I was honest.
Such a trick.
Does it allow you to put comments?
Yeah.
Because I want viewers to let Joe know how valuable Kim, Chris, and Ralph are to this show.
Yeah.
So please take a moment and share your thoughts on how much you like the three of us. And then you can give Joe 1 star.
And wish him a happy birthday.
Do we have a tranquilizer gun?
We could use a tranquilizer gun for Chris, I think.
I'm tranquilized right now.
Yesterday, the big news, I think the top of the list was the Middle Street Walk. And there was a big gloss today. Middle Street Walk, Lobster Trap tree lighting, and Maritime Gloss to deck the docks.
Right.
What I didn't realize is that literally 5 of our contributors were going to post the deck the dock thing. I went down there yesterday to buy. Yeah. So you can still buy them.
Oh, you can still buy a tree.
$45 and they're nice full trees.
Those are nice trees.
Yeah.
They're really nice trees.
Go down there every day, usually poking around.
It's a nice spot. Well, it's a great place to take photos, right?
Well, is it okay also to mention Wolf Hill also has trees? I get my tree every year from Wolf Hill. So.
Well, yeah, that's fine.
Yeah,
I just want to say.
The building center got a new truckload yesterday, too.
Just
so we're fair with it.
Yes, there you go.
If we're doing this, my I have to, because my Kate's son Connor, his uncle is Dan Lehman at Lehman's over by Mile Marker. So we're spreading the love. Wait, everybody gets love.
Everybody gets a tree.
Well, if we're doing this, I got to thank my neighbor because I went across the street and just cut the one in their front lawn. It's beautiful.
Hacked it right off. Left a big stump in their front yard.
It was a poplar.
So. What kind of tree I love is Fraser.
Chris is the only person in town that has an arborvitae for a Christmas tree.
A Hanukkah bush.
Is that the word the Hanukkahs use?
Oh, I don't know. Kim has the Hanukkah necklace now.
Yeah, that's right. Ralph, my wife
Ralph has
her.
A Hanukkah necklace.
Star of David.
Yeah, it's beautiful. In the shape of a snowflake. And if you they look didn't really know good, it was yeah. a Star of David, but they made it in the shape of a snowflake. That was wonderful.
So, yep, we're going to light the menorah tonight.
So you're late.
Do you want to know what Frasier Fir is? I know
we're
on?
Late. We'll catch what,
okay, give us a little education on Frasier Fir.
Frasier Fir is super, super fragrant. And it holds its needles longer, so it doesn't start shedding. Typically, it does. And so they're very full. And then also they have, like, kind of spiky branches that go outward, and which is really nice for hanging ornaments on. So I always look for Frasier Firs. And they have them at Wolf Hill, so really nice one.
There you go.
Yeah.
So yesterday, a great take. So this time of year, always looking for things to do with the kids. Mill Street Walk, it's kind of like a no-brainer type of thing. So we went up, so I'm going to give you the little quick rundown.
Okay, well, it's awesome.
Went downtown.
Please.
She's going to fall asleep. Went downtown, saw the chorus and the band at City Hall.
Okay,
City Hall all decked out. That's awesome. Gingerbread house contest, some amazing gingerbread houses.
Yeah.
Sandpiper Bakery for cookies and goodies.
Did they have any almond croissants left?
I don't know.
Did you miss them?
I had a big. I made myself a big breakfast, so I passed. Okay. But the kids loved the cookies there.
Yeah.
Went down to Maritime Gloucester, and they had it. What so there's a there was a ton of different activities down there. So we bought our tree, but they had Santa in a dory, and we took a photo with the family. On so it's on Harriet Webster Dock.
Right.
Santa. In the dory, the kids get in the dory with Santa, Kate and I behind, and it's going to be our Christmas card next year.
Well, I saw it.
They posted one with just Santa yesterday.
Yeah.
Dock with the shack and the back shacks
nice.
All decked out.
Right.
Last night after the tree lighting, I went down and I didn't have a tripod with me, but I'm going to go back tonight. But the Beale.
Yeah, yep.
Sylvina Beale has all got the lights strung up.
The whole dock
the Maritime
is all,
building is all lit up. Yeah. Really nice. It'd be nice to do a time exposure.
Absolutely.
It's really nice down there.
Yeah. It is.
And we could be getting some snow. I'll jump into the weather.
Oh, play that song.
Before you do the weather, you got to give me a cue because I can have a little news ticker tape that'll come in. So just give me this and I'll add that little audio in.
But we...
give me the thumbs up.
We're getting some light snow on Wednesday, and that could enhance your visual pleasure of Christmas.
I love it.
Get a little frosting on things like the motif in Rockport, a little frosting, or the man at the wheel, and down Maritime with the schooners with a little frosting. You will take note of that. I'm sure. There you go. Could happen. So we'll keep in with it.
Like most meteorologists, he's probably going to be wrong.
50% of the time, they keep it.
We'll get into that.
So,
it could snow.
Meet Chris.
It could snow.
Yeah.
Well, it could snow Thursday, too.
Somewhere,
exactly.
See, there's a slight possibility that the sun's going to come out in the next 4 weeks.
We had the weather guy, and the whole idea when I brought in the other weather guy was that we were gonna be able to like have him make forecasts and then kind of like joke around with when he nails it, give him total props, and when he screws it up, just like totally like hammer him and have a joke.
Yeah, but
as it was, he just posted. Like cartoon pictures of emojis of himself every day, and whenever there was a big storm, and he ghosted on us, and he only posted on his Facebook page. He never posted on Good Morning Gloucester. He was a very nice guy, though. Very nice guy, family guy, and everything else. But anyway. At Maritime Gloucester, they had the back room. They had hot chocolate. They had popcorn.
They had
crafts for the kids. They made lobster hats, crab hats. Then they had little tiny wooden buoys that you could paint. So we made ornaments.
Oh, I love that.
It was a perfect family day.
Perfect. Wow.
So anyway. Wow. So then.
Did the girls enjoy it?
The girls said. The girls did enjoy it because it wasn't just about me.
Chris.
Well, I think we should have that. Joe
sounded like you had a lot more fun than the girls.
You left them home.
They weren't even there.
It won't be any good.
Yeah.
Well, you know, what we were talking earlier, it's like, you know, if you leave it up to the kids, they sit in and they watch TV all day. Like, you have to force them to get out, you know, force family fun.
Yeah, well, especially for family fun. Like, I think their kids are so schedulized these days that they kind of like just hanging out a little bit.
True.
But you also have to find a balance of, you know, having family fun time, too.
So then, at the end of the day, was the lobster trap tree lighting. Chris, I heard you were there prompt and early. You got there for the lobster trap tree. You got some great videos and pictures.
A little upset at my wife today.
Pictures are fake that Charlene posted on Facebook. Fake.
Fake news. My wife read somewhere that the lobster tree wasn't going to be lit until 5:15.
You know what? What usually happens, so right at 4:30, the fire truck is already there, and we sing Christmas carols, and there's three Christmas carols that we sing, then we count down, and then one Christmas carol afterwards, because everything's cold, and so you really have to get there at 4:30.
Yeah.
So that's exactly, and the tree was lit, I was there the whole time. Yeah. The problem was that you wanted to be there the second the tree was lit.
Right.
So you timed it wrong. You were sitting at the bar at the Topside Grill while all of us were outside singing Christmas songs, fa la 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 la, counting down in the tree.
Sitting there waiting for my wife and daughter. They walked in, and about 5 minutes later, Ralph walks in, and I said, "Oh, we were just getting up. We want to go see the lobster trap.
Tree lighting.
And he's like, "It's over." And I'm like, "No, it's 5:50. It was 5 o'clock at the time." And I said, "No, it's."
He has no propensity for cold.
I call bullshit.
Yeah.
When I walked into the bar, he had a full drink in his hand. He had no plans on going anywhere.
Something was getting lit.
I agree.
My wife said to be there 4:30. We were there 4:30. We sang together. My wife and I. It was a very magical moment.
Joyous.
Yes. We sang together. And we watched it. We helped count down from 10 to the 1, and the tree lit. And
see,
it was a wonderful
time. That's the only reason I moved
time.
To Gloucester was for that moment.
Yeah.
And
you missed it. Because you're too drunk at the Topside Grill.
It will be exactly the same next year. So you have to just know.
Kudos to David Brooks, Jason Burrows, and the people at Art Haven that do the, you know, help the kids with the buoys.
Yeah, it's such a huge commitment of time and energy. And
when you put this on Facebook, people from all over the country, the world, look at this and say, "That is so cool." It's another piece that makes Gloucester so cool.
I posted a when they were 2/3 up. I think it was a week ago. It was a really heavy, drizzly day.
Yeah.
They were up there passing the trap. They were 2/3 up. I posted that picture. I got 45,000 reaches.
Yeah.
And it was 380 shares.
Yeah, amazing.
You know, around. Yeah. So people were like, "Whoa, you guys do that?"
They do a great job. It's so really beautiful.
Yeah.
It is.
There's nothing like it out anywhere else.
No.
Well, China thanked us, too, because we get the buoys and the lobster traps from China.
No.
There's a little tag on
those
the bottom.
Are the Russians. Those are the Mainers. The Mainers used the decorations that were purchased
in
Chinese sweatshop ornaments
on their
trees.
You know,
Gloucester tree is only adorned with the
made in
US. Oh, that's the word of the day.
Adorned.
Angelic children of Gloucester, hand
painted.
Every
single one, hand
painted.
So what I think also what makes ours very special is that I don't know if you can do this in the main ones is walk through ours.
Yeah, we
right?
got the,
there's
the
like a
doorway.
Front door.
Yeah.
We have a doorway.
Yeah.
That's new.
Well,
that
some
only
of these are only
10 feet
tall.
Yeah.
10 feet tall.
Small little
that's so
wooden ones.
Oh my god, that's
and you
so
can urinate in one of them. Last night after the bar. There was one where I could urinate.
There's a little pot.
It's very convenient.
I didn't hear that.
Kim's horrified.
You are the sickest person I've ever met in my entire life.
I had to go when I left the bar.
I was just glad you didn't.
Because I was there
arrested.
So long.
Can't you just use the bathroom at the bar?
Well, no, I was
just
already
trying
at
to get the, to
tree,
the
tree, and I, you know, with the weak prostate that I have. When I have to go.
Shoal water.
All right, moving on.
Moving on.
So, Kim, speaking of the tree, though, I mean, you're looking for people to send in.
Yeah, send
it's
send
a dead
photos.
Tree now.
Did oh, you, I've got
did,
some.
You, hey, did you take a picture with Kim in front of the tree?
Did you?
My wife, I did not.
Send a photo to her. She's doing a whole collage of pictures. of you, you send in your family photos in front of the lobster tree. She's going to do a big thing.
My wife didn't. I don't think so.
Kim Smith Designs.
Oh, the McCarthy's have one, Ralph.
At hotmail.com.
So you can do it any day.
Send me one of yours. Kim Smith Designs.
Yep.
At hotmail.com.
Okay, at hotmail. Okay, yeah. Sure.
And it's designed with an S.
I put a couple on the other page.
Family photos.
I think if you just tag them, they go to the this thing called Friends Post, but then you don't see that on the main page. Gotcha. I'm trying to get them on the main page. Yep. That's why I'm saying just email them to me.
I'm going
to
be in trouble now. So. We didn't take a selfie in front of the tree.
You got two weeks to do it. You could do it. I have faith in you.
It's not a one night only deal.
He sounds so depressed.
Oh boy, I'm going to be in big trouble now.
So I saw you driving by your house. I see you got a beautiful tree up in the corner.
I have to tell you about the tree. Couple of weeks ago,
when you wanted to get the one from Bex.
Bex called me 2 days later, says your tree's all ready. She must have worked around the clock to make my tree. And I went and picked it up, and I brought it home. Like I said, I was hoping that
you wouldn't have to.
I bring that home. Like, I'm out of cutting down a tree. You know, I don't have to do that, any of that. So my wife is very appreciative of the lobster tree. And 2 days later, I come home.
There's a tree.
There's a tree set up in the living room. Lights, fixtures, ornaments, everything. 100% done. I walk in, I look at the tree, and at the same time, she's making dinner. It was a perfect night.
Wow, it's a miracle.
And the Bruins are on. I didn't have to do a thing. It was perfect.
So how did that tree miraculously go up?
She took care of it.
She did everything. She carried it upstairs. She set it up.
I put it up.
Yeah. Yeah. Next, you're gonna tell me you paid for it too.
We don't have to. No one will believe that.
No one will believe that. So yeah, kudos to my wife for handling Christmas single-handedly this
Kim
year.
Kim DeGiorgio taking on the big load. Well, my wife, I should give her credit for adorning our little Weber grill with the. She put a little mini Christmas tree with the lights all around.
Oh,
it.
She did that last year too. Yeah,
did you post something?
Is she gonna?
Yeah, I just posted it. So it'll be another thing. Chris Biddle is with us.
Chris,
hey, welcome, Chris.
Hey, Chris,
I'm going to say that 98% of the people won't recognize the name Chris Biddle, but probably 80% of the people will recognize Cape Ann Weather. Because Cape Ann Weather has become an institution now. How many years have you been doing Cape Ann Weather?
20 years now. Really? I bought the URL for the website in 98.
Wow.
When I was going to web, when I was going to internet design, you know, web design and graphic design.
You said 98?
98, 99, yeah.
So yeah, like 10 years before Good Morning Boston.
Right.
But I find, so on Twitter, I follow you through Twitter.
Right.
But the graphics you put and the analysis you put up, I think what makes it special is it's really tailored to Gloucester.
Because
Gloucester to Hamilton.
He's from Gloucester, Joe.
Well, there you go. That would make sense.
I mean, why would he give you
I live in Gloucester now.
Why would he give you the weather for Boston?
Well, I'm just saying, for us, for people around here, so Gloucester's weather, even to a town as close as Hamilton, can be drastically different. Am I right?
Yeah.
Well, about a month ago, we got a snowstorm. On this side of the island, the east side of the island, the back shore and all that stuff, basically nothing. An inch of wet mashed potatoes, because it turned to rain real quick. The water's 50 degrees. It's easterly. On the back spine of the Cape, I had three or four people say I got 3 inches, 4 inches before it changed to snow. Wow. I mean, before it changed to rain.
Yeah.
I had people that follow me in Rowley, Ipswich, Hamilton, and this is all the area that I cover, eastern Essex County. They had 6, 7, 8 inches.
Yeah.
Now, there's your gradient right there. You go up to almost 9 inches on the west side of Rowley to the coast of nothing.
Isn't that wild?
So there's a huge thing. And I'll just say, one of the things that amazed me, I used to work at Varian. I worked there for 20 years. When they kicked me out, that's when I went to web design school in 98. Our office used to be in Woburn. And I remember a couple of times leaving Woburn, beautiful, sunny, crisp, clear day, just like today. I'd get to what we used to call Manchester Flats,
yeah.
Mount Ann Park.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I come down off the hill and I'd see dark clouds.
Right.
And I'd get to Rockport and it'd be 3 inches of ocean effect snow on the ground. It's you know? Crazy. Yeah. I mean, nobody inland knows that we're getting 3 or 4 inches of snow right now. Yeah. You know, the weathermen don't know it in Boston.
You know what? They always talk about the Cape and they're talking about Cape Cod. They never say.
I wrote a whole blog post about the Cape and the islands.
That's right.
But adversely, you can leave Gloucester in a rain. And you can get up to that same Manchester Flats area, and there's 5 inches of snow on the ground.
Yeah.
Because it's colder inland. We're surrounded by the ocean water, and Joe, you know the temperature of the water.
Well,
it's 40.
It works inversely in the spring. So in the spring, when the place like Hamilton or whatever has 70-degree day, we're probably going to be 60 because the water is, you know, we stay warmer later and cooler.
And
we get the
I'll come home sometimes from my office in Middleton, and it's clear skies, blue, sunny, beautiful. Come over the bridge, and I can't see my hand in front of my face with the fog. You know?
A fog too. Same thing.
So, Chris, what are some of the things that keep you going? Like, you have a tremendous following, but you get this. What time of the day do you get started analyzing the weather? And what is your lead? Like
when there is, this is the most boring thing. Every day it's clear and cold and 32 degrees. This morning one of my posts was sleep, live, repeat. Live, sleep, repeat. Live every day over and over again. We're into the eighth day straight of this same weather. Mm-hmm. After all I heard about was, when is this rain going to start?
Right, yeah.
Now we've got this whole thing of, and it's going to end this weekend. We're going to get a pretty good rain this coming weekend.
Luke Bryan wrote a song, Sunrise, Sunset.
Yeah, yeah. Sunrise, I'm always looking for sunset, weather lyrics to kind of key into. But
your firewood. If you're gonna cover up your firewood, this weekend is the weekend to cover up your firewood.
Yeah, I don't. Prognostically, I don't see a white Christmas.
You don't,
because by temperature wise, the only thing I don't look at storms more than 7 days out.
Right.
Inside 5 days, 5 days from now, I'm confident with what is going to happen. 7 days, I'm kind of iffy, and I'm writing not a forecast. Last March, we had the four Easters.
Right.
Yeah.
We had four nor'easters in a row.
Yeah.
I can name the one person
that's
not in Boston that got the fourth one right.
Yeah.
A Boston meteorologist almost got fired for responding to people on Twitter.
Really?
He got it so wrong. I've never tooted my horn, but I got it right.
Breaking news.
But I got it right. But my followers tooted it for me. Did you see what so-and-so said on TV? I don't watch TV weather.
Yeah.
I do not watch TV weather.
So where do you get
your
information from?
I look on Twitter, and I look at the guidance of the computer models. Now, if somebody gave me crap a couple of years ago about, you never use computer models, and then they're on there posting, well, guidance is telling me. He's just changing the name for what a computer model is. It's guidance.
Yeah. Right.
And then another guy will say, we're getting a strong signal for a storm next year. He's not saying computer model. He's just saying it's a signal. He's got a little signal. With snowflakes falling out of it. But I use that. And I use common sense. I mean, we're surrounded by warmer water. The winds play a huge effect. And there's something called the 40-70 benchmark, the latitude-longitude, that intersects south of Chatham and east of central New Jersey. And if a northeast storm goes over that, that's our worst storm.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. If it comes inside of it, it's so close to land that it pulls in warmer air and we get rain. If it's outside of it, we get less precipitation, but more likely snow, because it's going to drag more cold air over the top of it, because it's further out.
Was that intersection that you said?
40-70.
Otherwise known as the Bermuda Triangle.
Yeah, they call it the benchmark.
Right.
Everybody uses it. Everybody uses it when they're talking about storm forecasts, in a technical sense.
Right.
They'll say it's this is a benchmark storm.
Well, it's
like ding, you know, to me.
Where did you learn all this?
All self-taught.
I've never being completely obsessed with it, and a year in, a year out.
I'll tell you one thing. I did a little bit of a research because I was looking at what what they use. I look at the certain things. Channel 4 does one. Jeremy Reiner, who's on Channel 7, I really have a lot of respect for him. They do a winter forecast, and I don't have any faith in long-range winter. Like I said, I don't like to go long-range, more than 2 weeks at the most.
Well, can I ask you something? I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was just going to say, so I looked up the 10 top snowstorms, okay, and I looked up the 10 top winters, okay? Now, the 10 top snowstorms are mostly weak El Niños, and with two of them in there being a moderate El Niño. Now, we're going into an El Niño winter.
Right.
Which means
we're
what?
Going from neutral, from La Niña to El Niño. We're at the neutral center point, going from one to the other, into an El Niño.
So,
which
that,
means,
so that means it's weak.
Is that a lot of precipitation?
Well, it just means that most of our... So if we're going into an El Niño, it's going to start out weak. Most of these storms on here are from a weak El Niño. So you might draw the conclusion that we could get a decent size, you know, a really good
storm. And when you say we're going into a weak El Niño, do you mean like for this season, this year, or this month, or you know what I mean? Like, so because the El Niños last for like a year or something.
A year or two, yeah.
Right.
Does that mean a lot of precipitation?
No, it's where the winds.
El Niño only lasts for like 1 year, typically. Yeah.
Right.
But La Niña, which is the standard, which is normal, lasts a little longer.
Explain,
for 2 or 3 years.
Explain what El Niño and La Niña are.
El Niño is when the winds, the trade winds, prevailing trade winds. What it basically is the water temperature in the Pacific Ocean. When the trade winds are going east to west, it pushes all the warm water towards Asia. And you think about this. This is a giant planet, right? But you think it's like the harbor getting all the warm water pushed to one side.
And so what is that called? That's called a La Niña, right?
La Niña is going east, pushing it east to west, pushing all the warm water here.
Okay.
And the cold water has to go somewhere, so it comes up next to South America. And in El Niño year, the trade winds push back, and they kind of battle in the middle. And much more warmer air is off of South America. So when the jet stream comes down over that, it can bite into warmer air and the warmer water. It can bite into more moisture.
More storm. Yeah.
Okay.
Make more
but
storm.
El Niño years typically are average. Mm-hmm. They're typically average. It's the transition between the two that these storms are all seem to have come in.
Oh,
you know, and I didn't know that. I started doing, when I knew I was coming on here, I thought, well, that'd be interesting to know what I'm talking about as far as how they look at these long-range
things. We don't really care about the winter. How about the summer following it?
Warm.
Warm?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Warm.
Nice.
Somewhere.
All right,
somewhere.
Get the boat's ready.
Somewhere. It's going to be hot somewhere.
Buenos Aires may be warm.
So do you think we've had like a...
Torn out there.
Been very cool this fall, unusually cool. I don't know if that's statistically
and wet.
Where did this one rank on historically as far as a wet winter
fall?
I don't know. I know we got the average rainfall for November is just under 4 inches, and we got
12, wasn't it?
Well, we got 10 here. What I do is I tap into 4 different weather stations that are on Weather Underground. When I do a rainfall, so I do an average.
Mm.
So I don't want to say, oh, they got 7 inches at Rockport High School, which has a good machine. And I look at the one down on Hart Street, and they got 2 inches less. So I figure there's either something with the machines, or there's something, that gradient from one side of the island to the other. Basically, the island has its own microclimates. If you think about that snowfall that went from 0 to 4 inches across a, 5-mile-wide island?
Mm.
You know, that's a pretty good swing for a short little area. But I use an average of 4 machines. So, but it was just under 10 inches. So we got 3 times the normal.
Yeah.
I'm sure I could look up at Beverly. Beverly Airport's our closest official point where, like, you'll see it on, they always show on TV. And when I say I don't watch TV weather, but I'm going to reference they always show on TV, I see the graphics they're going to put on TV on Twitter.
Right.
That's how I know what they're putting on TV.
Yeah.
And that's why you'll always see Beverly. You'll never see nothing for Cape Ann because there's no official source.
Weather source.
You should put one right here.
Airports are what they typically
Mount use. Washington. That's an official one, right?
So, yeah.
So based on your, El Nino alone, right?
Yeah.
We might have a snowy winter and we might have a warm summer.
The summer, that's so far out.
I don't even delve into the winter. But because it's El Nino.
Basically on what I was just showing you about all those storms was, you know, it's very likely to have a couple of big storms. I wouldn't doubt it. The reason we had those four Easters last March was this giant high pressure in the middle of the Atlantic was blocking everything coming across.
Oh, so it bunched up.
And, they kind of stopped and then they had to come up the coast and go over the top. And this pie was like from below the equator to up to Greenland.
Wow.
So it was hitting it. It was like running into a guardrail. It had to go somewhere. So they would kind of just, okay.
Meander, go up the coast.
It was like the path of least resistance eventually.
Huh.
But I saw a satellite picture of all four together. They look identical. Huh.
What were the characteristics that put that winter? Was it 3 years ago, the 2015?
Snowmageddon.
What were the characteristics that made that happen?
A weak El Nino.
Like
two of the biggest storms on that list are from that... From that 2015 winter. You know, the early, not the... 14-15 winter.
Right.
Two of the biggest storms in that top 10 list are from that time frame. Now, you got to remember, we only had 4 inches of snow into the middle of January.
I know, I remember.
Okay,
I remember, and everybody's saying,
we're almost there. Yeah.
February and March.
I remember
right,
that.
We're almost there. And then we got hammered.
I moved to Gloucester in February, and that's when the shit hit the fan. I saw every storm...
That was
nasty.
Jeez,
see the number 6 and 7 are both from that on this list of top 10.
End of January and the first 2 weeks in February.
Right, and 2 weeks later there was 2 feet and then 2 feet.
Yeah, 4 feet of snow.
Yeah, and that's just those two storms. I always get a kick out. You know what? In a strong El Nino, you remember there was a huge blizzard in 2003, and there was a strong El Nino during a perfect storm. Those two popped out at me.
Wow.
And that's not a snow event.
Right. Yeah.
You know, that was just an ocean, you know.
Ocean event.
Basically, it was a hurricane.
Yeah.
That's something I don't, I get pretty tempted as to why they didn't, it did turn back into a hurricane, but they left it at Hurricane 11 instead of calling it Hurricane Henry.
So my plow guy, should I pay him up front? For the entire winter,
for a fixed rate.
Or per
storm.
He's
a good friend of mine. Yeah,
or per storm.
So now that Chris is depressed, depressed about the this coming winter. Not you.
I like it.
Good news is that the summer is going to be nice. Well, he said, guaranteed.
He says it's too far.
Guaranteed. Now see, this is why you make weathermen wrong. Have you ever heard a weatherman say guaranteed?
Yes.
You're watching the wrong.
And they call the school good... off. When they call school off a day before, and we get a dusting.
So now Chris is going to go out to Home Depot and buy his wife a new snow shovel for Christmas.
Yeah. Chris, you
and some sunscreen.
Oh, Chris the Weatherman? Come on, make sure you...
Make one more point on this. You asked me about how I got into it or whatever. And this list of top 10 is all in the 60s, 70s, the 2000s, and all that. Number 10... is March 3rd through 5th, 1960. Uh-oh. That's the storm that introduced me to weather.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because I was 5 years old.
Oh, there you go.
And
my birthday
was
on the 5th.
It was like unbelievable. We couldn't go anywhere. That was one of those, what they call French toast alert days.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, when they have a big weather event, you know, snow event coming, they call it a French toast alert because everybody goes out and gets the ingredients for French toast, the eggs, the bread, the milk, you know.
Yeah.
So that was a true, we were stuck for like, because I lived down a little lane in Rockport. We couldn't get out for a week.
Do you consider the storm of 78 the benchmark?
Yeah.
Yeah.
When we were kids, it was in a 78.
Do you, can I tell you a little story? And this is very significant, it's historical, and I'm kind of bothered that the author of the book, 10 Hours to Dawn, didn't find me. Quirky used to be right down here in Cripple Cove. And I worked at Joey Enos's radio shop, Sandy Bay Communications. and him and Kenny Wilkinson came in at 3 o'clock that afternoon. And they had a handheld radio, but they wanted to put channel 23 and something. They had 16 on it, but they wanted to put two more crystals in it. And that's back then, you put crystals in. You didn't tune it like now you just push the numbers in. They came in and to the store, and Joey said, yeah, I can do it right away, because they were thinking of going out on the Can-Do, which they did, obviously.
Yeah.
So we were one of the last couple people to see him.
Wow.
Because after they left here, they came down here. And then they called Bucko, who was up, I think, lived up back here somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Did we hear the audio of the audio of the, didn't someone have audio?
There's an audio on YouTube.
Yeah.
Of the last thing. And they said they were on the handheld.
Right.
I don't know what channel they were on, it matters, but.
Can-Do was the name of a
pilot boat.
Pilot boat.
And they went out, they heard that the Global Hope in Salem, a big tanker, was dragging anchor. And the guy was a Greek captain, and he didn't communicate very well with the Coast Guard. So they were worried. So they sent the 44317 out of the Coast Guard and went down, and they got pummeled. They lost their antennas. They limped into Beverly Harbor, and Quirky and them thought they had lost it, or they were just out there floundering. And that's what initiated his wanting to go out and save them. I mean, a year before, he had saved all those people off the Chesterpoling.
And their boat
off
went
of
down?
Eastern Point. Yeah.
The Quirky's boat went down?
Yeah, they all died. Yeah. Oh, yeah, the boat, it's called the Grumpus now. Mm. It's in Beverly. Mm. But it's one of the things that I've written a couple times about it. Eric Fisher on Channel 4 saw the story one time and made mention of it. But, anyway, yeah, I think 78 is, 78 and the Perfect Storm were two of the most unbelievable.
Yeah.
Storms we've had around here, I think that's...
To me, for my memory, the 78 one.
78. Mm. You know, it would be cool is if you sent that list of the 10 worst storms, and we could post that on Good Morning Gloucester. Do you want to do that?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, you could. If somebody, listen to the podcast, might want to see it. They can, reference
list.
It.
I think that would be
There's
interesting.
A couple in there.
Yeah.
The other thing with the El Nino, just real quick, was... don't have it on. There's... during the 2015... Snowmageddon, there was an enormous pool of warm water. I talked about the warm water being closer to South America, and that's what creates the El Nino. It changes the jet stream. Well, during 2014 and 15, the waters in the Gulf of Alaska were very warm.
Mm.
Now, then they've settled down. Now they're climbing again.
For this
El
Nino.
For that. You see the
yeah,
red there?
I see that.
Now they're climbing. So it'd be interesting to see
how it correlates.
Hindsight is always 20/20.
Right, but
especially with weathermen.
Right. Well, now we know. Well, we'll all be on the lookout for snow.
Yeah, no, it's
it's
always interesting to me. I love it. The graphics. So I guess if at the end of this segment, the point for me to everyone else is, and I'm going to put a link to his Facebook page. He said to send people there. I happen to follow him on Twitter.
Yeah.
So it's Twitter for me is an easy scroll
it's
to
easy
see what's
you.
Happening.
Yeah.
But his graphics are very detailed and
I try to put every facet on them. Like you'll see on. I'll see a wind graphic that they're going to put on Channel 4, and it's just about the wind. There's a wind advisory, and they just show. Then they'll put another graphic up for coastal flood advisory because mm-hmm. of the waves. And, I put it all on one, as you've seen.
Yeah.
What I do is I anticipate what we're going to get. Like, I know we're going to get a wind advisory. Well, it's a full moon, and we're going to have easterly. I know we're going to get a coastal. And I'll say one thing. So I make the graphic ahead of time. All I got to do is plug in the times. The national. And this is all National Weather Service information.
Yeah.
Not mine. I don't pretend to know anything that they do. Everything. And the one thing I don't do, Joey, and when I do those graphics, I do add marine parts of it.
Yeah.
But I don't do anything marine on its own because I feel like you, like anybody else, I know a few guys that have boats. These guys know where to get their weather.
Mm.
They're not going to listen to me. And I don't mean not listen to me, but they're not looking to me for the weather. They'll listen to NOAA Weather Radio.
Mm.
I mean, how many... Do you turn that on like every time you head out of the harbor?
No, I have...
What do you use?
I built an app
Did you?
Yeah, yeah. It's an Android app, but I have. I'll tell you what I use, and you tell and you critique. You're gonna critique the what the segments of the app for weather that I used. So I put in the marine forecast that I use is from Wonderground.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Marine
yeah.
weather for AN251. What is AN251?
That's the coastal zone.
That we that
like the land zone that I use is 007 is Eastern Essex County National Weather Service Zone 007.
Yeah.
They apparently must start like zip codes on the East Coast and right. up Northeast because they're real low numbers. Like right. our zip codes are
so
lowest.
Maine would might be 012.
It could be 0101 or something yeah, like yeah, that. Yeah. You know, but two yeah that's the what they call the ANSI code for the but that's the right one to have. That goes from Merrimack out 25 miles down to Coastaligo, down to Swampscott and out 25 or
so,
something like
so
that.
So I use that. I use the AccuWeather radar. So there's yep. a little radar section to it. Then I have the Gloucester, Mass Bay buoy report from windfinder.com.
Which buoy? 029? 44029?
Jesus. Buoy cast? I use buoy cast.
This,
Booby cast?
Buoy cast.
Oh.
Jeez. And that graphic that you're talking about, Joey, that I do.
Buoy A01.
Down in the corner.
Yeah. I got Booby A01.
4029.
44029.
That's the closest one to us. Yeah, that's the one I use. That's on that graphic that I do with when I when I post all the hazards, the headlines from the National Weather.
Right.
You look on the right side, it shows where the buoy is, southeast of Chatham. And yeah. That's the one that I...
Well, the reason I like your graphics is, like, it's one thing. And you look and you get like you really get a good picture of what's going to happen.
Yeah.
So for me, my everything to me,
yeah.
I don't necessarily care about precipitation. I care about wind.
Yeah.
You know, wind
yeah.
is like is going to tell me if my boats are going fishing or not.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And
yeah.
and that's how I you know kind of
yeah.
my life is guided by
sure.
how many boats are out fishing or you know what you know if it's like to, if we have three good days in a row,
right.
Come forecast and. The day just before that is a little bit iffy. They probably won't go on that iffy day because they know they can get through the gear
yeah.
the next 3 days.
Yeah.
Now, if the weather is kind of a continuation of not great
right.
weather,
yeah.
The boats will be spread out because
right.
there's no particular great stretch where they you know
yeah.
they
yeah.
say oh we'll really go and try to get a lot of gear hauled
yeah.
this particular day because of
and is it dependent on which direction the wind's blowing or
well it's funny because we have lobster boats from all around the Cape
yeah.
Rockport
right
Lanesville
yeah
East Gloucester some guys fishing Magnolia you know Manchester stuff like that
so
if we have northeast wind on one day
right it's good for
the people on the other side
yeah.
of the island
yeah.
yeah
and then if we have it on
right.
Southwest wind
yeah.
mm-hmm.
it's good for the other
yeah.
so there's always someone
yeah.
that could be fishing if they're
yeah.
if at the certain time of the year where the lobsters are close to the land that they could be in the lee of the land
yeah
yeah
you know
right.
but right now the
yeah.
the lobsters have pushed off now so if it's kind of windy like the guys that are catching lobsters they're out kind of they're exposed so
yeah.
there's no lee of the land where they're fishing right now you know
lee of the land
in the lee of the
hiding
land.
Behind the shadow
so the wind yeah. so if you have a big so if the you know if the say so right where we are Captain Joe and Sons where we're located is probably the best place in the whole city in Rocky Neck to there's a big basically a mountain behind us so hard northeast goes right over us.
Yeah.
It's a duck pond here. It could be blowing 50
yeah.
miles an hour. It's a duck pond where our boats are tied up.
Mm.
On the other side of the harbor, those boats are getting
yeah.
beat to shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we're very, like, our location in this snug little cove here is ideal for boats
to
tie up.
When you say the other side of the harbor, do you mean, like, by Stage 4?
Well, the one that's facing, you know, the... on you know anything that's facing the opposite
side.
You know?
Okay,
yeah.
all right.
But yeah, because
like the northwest, the Lanesville area gets really pummeled, and they're like kind of
mm-hmm.
right around the point.
Oh yeah,
from Halibut Point, they're
right.
kind of facing northwest.
Right.
But the seawalls come down in nor'easters, so it's
yeah.
kind of like the curling of the swells come in and pummel that wall. They did a beautiful job on that wall, by the way.
So wouldn't
that
they? Wall wouldn't, over. They wouldn't they then?
Incredible tuck undertaking. Like yeah. How much money they put yeah. into
I
that?
I guess it's all rebarred now and poured. They didn't just stack rocks like
yeah.
they used to.
Yeah.
Like they did after 78, after the perfect storm. Right. They didn't just stack the rocks up like nice neat dominoes.
Yeah.
They did actual. A shout out to Andy Roby. He's been down there photographing it constantly.
Lanesville
Seawall. Lanes Cove.
It's this huge kind of like...
Yeah. In Rockport? It's,
no, Gloucester.
Gloucester, but it's basically
right before Rockport. The Rockport line going around that
you could call it Rockport. Lanesville is would tell you they're
yeah,
probably
oh, geez,
more associated with...
They don't want to be Rockport.
Oh, yeah.
Gloucester.
Right
Rockport.
Right. Oh,
yeah.
Right. Oh,
okay,
I know.
That's
yeah.
the little tiny...
They have their own
right
parade
before.
On the 4th of July.
Yeah. It's an annex.
But they did a great job. The infrastructure inside of it with all the rebar. We'll see how it goes. See
well, it's
we
interesting. Like
storm
yeah.
of the century.
It's interesting because we every couple of years now the footbridge at Good Harbor Beach gets wiped out.
Yeah.
Wiped
yeah.
out yeah.
And you know, there's it's always the debate whether, you know, what do? You put a fortune into developing, designing something that may be more permanent, or do you just kind of like
fix it as it goes? Yeah.
You know, like don't spend a ton of money, just knowing yeah. that it's gonna.
I was out there yesterday, and it looks like someone's surveying. They have some beam poles up with some numbers on the stakes because it's all eroding around.
Yeah, I noticed that
already.
The yeah. bridge.
Did they pour new footings when they put it up this time? Do you know,
I'm not sure. Kim goes down there all the time.
To know if they put a new base in, or that can change the flow too.
What they were doing was they put the. I didn't see any concrete beam poured or anything like that, but they were going way down with bigger
driving
the piles down.
There's a lot of beach erosion.
I didn't see any cement being poured.
Huh? There's a lot of beach erosion.
Oh yeah, it's bad.
Well,
it's all the pipe and clovers. It's changing the sand design, and I think we got to get rid of all the piping plovers.
We're going to be hearing a lot more about piping plovers in the coming months. We're going to be talking a lot about piping plovers coming up because things are
starting
to
happen. There's going
to
be a battle between the snowy owls eating the piping plovers.
That does happen.
Are the piping plovers like mating right now?
No, they're right now they're like on North Carolina and South Carolina and Turks and Caicos.
They're on vacation.
They're on vacation.
They're hanging out with the ruddy turnstones.
right.
Oh, so they don't stick around. They don't live under the sand or anything?
No. Nope.
You know what's funny about the storm, you say about the storm damage in the footbridge? You know the end of T Wharf in Rockport?
Yeah.
Is, you know, the pier is stone, goes out and goes like a T, and... on the right side, there used to be a giant four-story ice building there, and old pitches. So anyway, that's gone. That's where the yacht club is.
Right.
And they built out from the stone, they built about a 20, it's where the lobster guys back up, and they load their bait. It goes out, and it's a wooden structure, goes out, a wooden wharf off of the pier, and it goes out about 20 feet and goes across. Every storm...
gets wiped out.
The water comes in. Hits the stone. Where's the water going to go?
Up, yeah.
Blows the planks right off. Every single time. I was down there one day, and the engineer's going, what are we going to do? I said, put a metal grate with holes in it.
Yeah.
So it can go.
So people can look down, and the water can go up.
Yeah.
Right.
And
planks.
Planks.
It's almost like a hysterical district.
Yeah.
Well, we got to have what's there before, you know, how Rockwood is.
Security.
That too, yeah.
They put the grate
See, you buy the planks at Smith Hardware. And, you know.
Just speaking of job security, quickly, are the meteorologists measured? Like, is there a way to pull up a meteorologist and see
his score?
Their score? Because, I mean, we all work for companies.
That would be interesting. You know what? I've never called myself a meteorologist because I'm not degreed. I've always called myself a reporter. You know, somebody said, hey, did you see the weather report? You know, a reporter. I'm not like a reporter. So, like a guy reporting on a game will go before the game, during the game, and after the game and tell you about it. Some people say, well, you guys, the degreed guys, well, you guys are forecasters, not meteorologists. I've never claimed to be a meteorologist and wouldn't want to be, but no, I don't think they want to be.
Well, I'm not
I don't
suggesting
think they want to be.
It's
no, but
self-performance. I'm talking about a third party.
A meteorologist review board.
It would be. I think it would be really cool if someone had had a website that went back, you know, like recorded their predictions.
Yeah.
And then.
Well, the big thing now is because Twitter never dies. Right. There's always a tweet. Yeah. Right. As they say, there's always a tweet. Yeah. People go back and say, do you remember what you said about this 2 weeks ago? Yeah, you know, right. And they only have to go back 2 weeks to say
right.
what they said. Well, you know, and that's
why limit it to just meteorologists? I think everybody yeah. in the world should be well, based on their performance.
All performance.
The world would be much more efficient if everybody got paid based on their performance.
Yeah. Yeah. But, pickers, yeah.
Back to real quick. Back to a point Kim made about
the birds. Was it?
About the no about the meteorologists is the Cape and the Islands.
Oh yeah.
Was I wrote a blog post. I have an obscure blog. I really don't throw it out there. I post when I post to it. I post it on the Cape and Weather Facebook page. But I did a thing on the Cape and the Islands and how they avoid saying capes. All they have to do is say capes in the
right,
islands.
Right.
And that would settle one S would settle the whole thing. There's two capes, right? But you know,
but we have different forecasts.
And they do that in the winter so much, and the Cape is desolate in the winter. Cape yeah, Cod right. is desolate in the winter.
And we're so popular.
And we've got 85,000 more residents in Eastern Essex County than they have.
Oh.
By census.
Right, that's you know, interesting. That,
yeah, they grow by almost 200,000 in the summer.
Right, but that's
but who talks about, you know, the Cape and the Islands is going to be, you know, 80 and it's going to be 88 here. You know, there's no difference.
Right.
But the Cape and the Islands gets rain and everybody else gets snow. But guess what? The little Cape up here got rain too. But what they do is they put the snowplow icon right. This I get this all the time. Did you see Channel 4? They put the snowplow icon right over Cape Ann. So, you know,
like
on the map.
Like
so
we
you don't
exist,
see it.
Yeah.
So they got to figure out the colors is 3 to 6. So that but then there's a plow in the way.
That one S would make a big
it's
difference.
Funny. What's that?
The one S.
The
yeah.
one S.
Yeah. Capes in the island.
Because we have one S that makes a big difference around here too.
Well, it's great to have you on, Chris.
Yeah, thank you. And, thanks for allowing me to share. Yep.
So go check out and follow his page, Cape Ann Weather, on Facebook. It's a simple search, and I have a link to it. You can get to it that way and make sure you like it and follow it. I wanted to talk about this guy. So you know how people submit photos for Good Morning Gloucester?
Yeah.
I got this guy, and tell me if I'm being crazy about this. This guy submits photos, and he says, make sure you tell me when you post it. Okay, I'm like, okay, whatever, right?
Okay,
and so it's the weekend or whatever, and I kind of don't post it the first day. Second day, he says, I inevitably get an email. I didn't see my photos on the blog. Is there something wrong? And I'm just like, no, I just haven't posted them yet or whatever. And then the third day, if they're not up by the third day, has this thing where he accuses me of playing favorites, and he would, and this is where it gets aggravating to me. So I'm at a point where I'm not posting his stuff anymore.
Yeah,
it's this passive aggressive wording. I would think that you would want to promote other local artists and not just your own on the blog. It has nothing to do with favorites at all. It's just like.
Wow.
And because he has this passive aggressive email behavior,
yeah.
It makes me want to post his stuff way less.
Yeah,
am I wrong here?
No,
I don't think you're wrong.
I don't
but,
think you're wrong.
You know, but then Chris shows up in person and argues the case.
No, I personally think that's super nervy. And if he's saying, tell me when you post it. That means he's not bothering to even.
That's what I said. Yeah.
Look
earlier.
At the rest of the blog.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm only gonna look when my pictures
are up there, and then also he's showing a complete lack of concern that you might have other things you have to be doing.
No. We went to the Topside Grill last night.
We did. It was excellent.
Phenomenal.
Yeah.
One of my favorite spots now.
Yep.
So yeah, we go there, and
Chris really likes the bartender.
our waitress was
Taylor
very,
and Val
very
yeah.
patient.
Taylor was a male.
Yeah,
Val.
He did a great job, and then Val took over after that. And
I think we've had Val before. She's super nice.
She's funny.
When I say patient with our group, I think that was the part that I would use. So we had a big gang there, and we were whenever Chris is in the group. Oh, yes. It turns into a shit show. Jeez,
that's it. And I'm not going out with you guys anymore.
Promise?
But the food was fantastic. Oh, really, yeah, I think a lot of people overlook Topside Grill, but it's not to be missed.
No, we went recently. I had some of the best oysters I've had in a long time.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
It's really usually nice. You're sweating at that, right, but now you're freezing.
Usually it's boiling in here.
Chris, go get the heat. Turn the heat up in the corner.
Oh, she's the only one cold. We're fine.
It's not going to catch on fire. We turn the heat on.
No, I'm not.
There's so much dust on the freaking heater over here.
If you guys are comfortable, then.
No, okay.
No, he'll turn it up for you.
Yeah.
It's all right. So there's that. The
which one, Joe?
Oh, stop it.
Look. What is this heat, Chris?
Jesus Christ.
It's up to 79.
No, it is not. All right, you got
Thank you, Chris.
Thanks, Chris. So Santa Baby, so one radio station, I guess.
Just one.
So
or a few.
Or a few, whatever it was. Right. Pulled Santa Baby from its rotation, saying that it was like some type of offensive thing. And
Baby, it's cold outside.
Right. So the point that I want to make about it is, it sounds ridiculous to pull it, you know, this classic, right?
Yeah.
It kind of sounds ridiculous to pull it, but what makes this a story is how ridiculous it is that they pulled it, right? So the reason it goes viral is because media stations, television stations, print, they know that this story is going to stir up a lot of clicks.
Right.
And all of their advertising is based off of clicks.
Clicks. Oh, I see.
Clicks, okay. And people talking about their particular story.
Right.
Now, there's only one little community where this was affected by pulling this song.
Right.
But that news station and that radio station created a tremendous amount of buzz.
Yeah, they sure did.
For like next to no money.
Right.
But the point of it is really, and the whole idea is outrage, right?
Right.
But really, no one really cares.
Well, I disagree with that, that nobody really cares. A lot of people care. I mean, this Me Too movement is right. really something to pay attention to, but when it gets down to, you know, a song like this, that's a little over the top. I get it, but that's over the top.
So, there's something in the Globe today.
Well, can I just say that? So my daughter had to sing that song in high school, and so it was the first time I'd heard the lyrics, you know what I mean? And I was just like, and I just thought at the time, you know, wow, well, that's a little, you know, what's in this drink kind of thing, you know what I mean? But then I just read about it, and it was written in 1944, and it was written by Frank Lesser, and he wrote it for he and his wife, because he was a big songwriter at the time. He wrote Guys and Dolls and all those things, so he wrote that song for he and his wife to sing at parties, because every time they would go to a party, people would say, oh, can you sit down at the piano and play something for us? So he wrote it. So I think when you think about things in the context of when they were written, and not try to put
roofies,
you know,
in it.
Right. Or because back then it would just meant a strong drink.
Right.
You know what I mean? It didn't mean like we're drugging somebody. You know what I mean? So,
and I think the lyric that really sets it off is, you know, the one that says, you know, something like no, no, no.
Right.
You know.
Right. You know? No means no.
No means
yeah. Right.
No,
no
right.
means no.
No means
you know?
Yes.
Right.
No.
No.
So, but the thing of it, but I guess my point is, the song has been seemed harmless for so long.
Right.
Right. No one's really taking this to be. It's a date rape song.
Yeah.
Like no one thinks of it as a date rape song. No one. Right.
No, but I think
because they wouldn't put it in that movie. If there was connotations of date
right,
rape.
Right, but that was in 1944, so...
it was in the movie Elf, was what brought it back to made it a really popular movie, which was not that long ago.
And it was some Cleveland radio station, I think, that started
Cleveland,
this.
Cleveland, oh, wow. There you go.
But it's just...
I don't know.
So here's the thing, like, I think it's a vocal minority that really cares, that wants it pulled off.
Right.
You know, right. It's a vocal, it's a minority, it's a tiny amount.
Yeah.
So it stirs up this whole group of people like, what do you mean you're taking this away? Isn't this kind of ridiculous that you're taking this away?
Right.
And, but then the advertisers think that because this perpetually outraged group represents the whole, the masses of the United States, they get scared to death. And then they that's then what they, alters they like what we listen to and what we don't get to listen to, you know. Well, so I don't know. It's just kind of
I don't know. Like, do a lot of the local stations, you know, Christmas?
I've heard it. I've heard it a lot. I haven't.
I think most play. I think it's probably getting more play than ever.
But I agree with you. I think it's all about the clicks, you know. Yeah. Yeah. And this radio station trying to become more popular and everything. But when you, if you read the lyrics, right, it's not, you know, like that lyric I said, I ought to say no, 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 sir. And then he says, mind if I move in closer. So it's not like, you know, I mean, it's consensual. You know, it's, you know, it's not a...
Were you there?
Yeah, I was there once.
And also, it's a husband, and, it's a husband and wife singing.
Right, it's a husband and wife singing to each other. So
right, singing to each other. It's yeah. not.
So the research wasn't done on you know whoever's trying to pull the song. But anyway,
we'd like the person who disagrees with us, we'd like them to call in next week. So give out your cell number.
I'm developing. No. So I got these new. I'm working on these new. These new apps that people will be able to call
in. Oh, that'll be awesome.
Yeah, I'm hoping that we can make that work.
Are we going to have a red button, 5-second hot
button? Yeah, exactly.
Delay. Sort of like what we have with Chris.
Delay.
That's an awesome idea.
Ralph, you went down to Nantucket last week for something called the Nantucket Christmas Stroll. What's that all about?
So the Christmas stroll, I guess it's been going on for a long time. They started this Christmas stroll years ago because in the wintertime down in Nantucket, it's
dead.
Everything shuts down. They roll up the sidewalks and, you know, there's only a few people left on the island, I guess. So they introduced this Christmas stroll. I don't know when they did it, but it took to like fish to water, you know. And we went down last Friday.
So did you
take
the ferry over?
We took my wife and I weren't able to get, so the thing is that everybody goes down there, so the fast high-speed ferries book up. We were fortunate enough to hop on a standby fast ferry because we were on the slow boat to China. You know, it's 2 hours and 15 minutes. But we were fortunate enough to get the fast ferry. We hopped on the fast ferry. We got over there by 3 o'clock, and we walked around, and it's so beautiful. If you've never been to Nantucket, it's such a gorgeous island, and you know,
once
you don't need
a
car
from Nantucket.
Yeah. Yeah.
So where did you stay when you went?
So we're doing construction down there. One of the companies is doing construction down there and rented a house. So we have the house until like May or June or something like that.
Oh, you're gonna have it in the spring?
Well, they had it in the spring, but I just didn't take advantage of it. But my business partner said, hey, why don't you go down there and use the house that's available? Because the guys work Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, 10-hour days. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, it's available. So he said, yeah, you know, we went down there. It was a gorgeous house.
Wow.
And, you know, so we brought a couple friends along, couples. Anyway, Kim and I went down Friday night, and we walked around, and it was, you know, every street, they lined the streets with Christmas trees, and the kids decorate the Christmas trees, and everybody's all dressed up in their Christmas garb, you know, who's dressed up like an elf, who's dressed up like Santa Claus, they got the top hats and the whole bit, and the Christmas scarves and all that stuff. And then Saturday, they have the parade where Santa Claus shows up on a boat, and he walks downtown, Main Street downtown. And when I tell you, it is chock full of people. You can walk across the people. That's how many people are down there.
Wow.
So whoever came
up
with...
Where are they all coming from? Like
they come from all over. I mean, we talk to people that are from New Jersey.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of people come from the Cape
for
the day.
Yeah, for the
but a lot of people are, you know, in New England and everything. But they have... It's like up in Kennebunkport, they do the prelude. They have the prelude up there.
Yeah.
But this was a tremendous, tremendous...
Oh,
take. We had a lot of fun. We had some great dining experiences. You know,
a little pricey. You know, everything's pricey, you know. But it is.
They got to bring everything on there, yeah.
But, you know, coming home was a little tough with the slow ferry. We couldn't get the fast ferry because everybody wanted to leave Sunday at the same time, noontime. Yeah. You know, you got 15,000 people trying to leave, you know, trying to cram onto these ferries. But it was a great take. If you've never done it, I highly recommend it.
There you go.
And there
you go. So Ralph also, I'm going to stay with Ralph here. Because Ralph's very upset because we have an announcement to make. December 29th, we got the green light from Gloucester Stage. We're going to have the Good Morning Gloucester Christmas party, holiday party, whatever, because it's going to be after Christmas, actually.
Right.
December 29th, we're going to have a variety show, and there's going to be there's going to be booze, and we're going to tape a podcast, variety show style.
Style?
With a desk, couch, some surprises, a lot of surprises. Ralph and Chris are going to be... Ralph is going to be...
Are you going to tell me the surprises ahead of time, please, Joe?
Absolutely not. Absolutely
no,
not.
Come on.
We need at least two or three from you, Pim. We want you to think outside the box.
No, I'm not.
You have to.
Tell me what's
come
going
on.
We have some good things.
Yeah, Kim. I'd be ready, Kim.
Talk about being politically correct.
Oh, this is going to be off the rails. It's going to be off the rails. So we're going to have a big party down the 29th.
Do we have the podcast first and then the party?
So we're going to have it like a studio audience style. It's going to be like basically on the stage, everybody can sit down. They can drink and mingle in the lobby.
You can't bring drinks in. You can bring drinks in.
Yeah, you can.
Yeah. Like a variety show.
Okay.
Totally, yeah.
Like the Tonight Show on steroids.
And K-Band TV is going to be the tape.
Okay.
So it's important for people to save the date now.
December 29th. We're probably going to tape at 7. We'll probably have people start showing up at 6.
Right.
And we already have locked down. I'm not going to have you guess, but if you could guess who would probably be the most entertaining guest that from our city, then don't say anything.
Okay.
We already have a couple guests lined up.
Yeah.
So all is invited, more importantly.
All invited.
We want a full house.
It's like a variety show, and then there's like a cast party afterwards.
You know, people could kind of like, you know, we want it to be pretty
loose.
Oh,
I like that, cast party.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it is 18 plus.
Yeah,
you know, you're gonna be 21
and over.
Yeah.
Joe,
that may change.
You start off by saying I'm upset. Why am I upset?
So, you were upset because we had a couple of executive meetings this week that because you're a very busy man and you have meetings. But Chris and I
so that means you and I aren't busy?
Well, no, Chris and I put together some show notes, but you weren't here to give input. I sent the show notes to you for your input, and you said, what is this, the Chris McCarthy show?
So this is what they do. They send me a text and say, oh, we're having a meeting to discuss
the cast
on the 29th. They send me this text like 1:30 in the afternoon, and they're saying, we're meeting at 3 o'clock. You know, these two are here, stuffing their face with coconut crusted haddock from the causeway, and I'm in a meeting trying to, you know, earn a living.
So we have some ideas for Ralph, but he was very upset that Chris was getting a lot more of the limelight.
Thoughts, you know, not all of them.
Oh, they were your thoughts. That's a shock.
It's going to be a lot of fun, though.
Okay.
I can promise it's going to be very entertaining. There's going to be some surprises.
Yeah.
So big time.
Wear your diapers that day, folks.
The only way this will be successful is if people show up. So the 29th, be there.
We're going to make it fun. It's going to be fun.
And again, there's going to be booze.
There's going to be booze.
Chris is going to be standing at the front door, and for every person that shows up, he's going to hand him a $10 bill. So...
It's going to be
the first 1,000
Monopoly money.
That may or may not
the
be
first
true.
1,000.
Is she going to bring her charcuterie? I mean, that would be so beautiful visually also. That would
be nice if she did. And
we'd
give her some special shout-outs, wouldn't we?
Yes, we would.
Oh, yeah.
Next week, we're going to give a lot of shout-outs to all the people we want to come.
We should talk to a lot of the restaurants that we pimp all the time, and maybe they would
actually,
bring some stuff.
Could we do something like a taste of Cape Ann type thing? Where we get some restaurants to set up. No, but just like a smaller version. like
three, four, a lot five. Of times, a lot of times, the people that we show a lot of love to, they send plates for us and stuff like that.
Yeah, but maybe they would want a representative there.
Well, we can talk about that after the show at our meeting.
Yeah, you know, in our meeting, we could talk
about the bar. We need like a bar to sponsor the bar.
An official bar of the Good Morning Gloucester.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, the money from the bar is going to go to the
Gloucester stage.
They're donating the space.
So it's not BYOB this time. It's going to be cash bar.
Instead of people
bumping
and stuff.
But don't let that scare anybody away. Drinks are going to be cheap.
Okay. And the cost of the drink goes to the Gloucester stage.
And the entertainment.
It's free.
It's going to be great. It's free.
It's worth the price of admission.
It's going to be funny. Ralph.
Yes, sir.
You got... So, this is a thing, and I didn't realize that this was a thing, but shingles shingles is a thing.
Shingles is very nasty.
But yes. There are vaccines that you can get against it, but they're very difficult to get, right?
Very, very difficult to get. I was on a three-month waiting list to get the vaccine. It's a two-part vaccine. You take the first, you know, one when you're able to get it at your doctor, and then within two months, I think, you have to have the second dose of vaccine. Yeah. So I took my first dose about 3 weeks ago, and then I have to go back.
Is that what happened?
I know.
Is that what happened in your face?
No, yeah. I haven't had it. Every time I've said to the doctor, oh, you know, can I get it? They're like, and she wants me to get the one called Shingix.
Shingix
is the one you ask for, because there's a couple that are out there. that aren't as effective as the Shingix one. So that's when you ask.
So did you get it? Or what happened?
No, I haven't gotten it yet. And also, the last 2 months when I'm going to the doctor, I felt so bad. I don't want to do...
No, you don't want to... Your immune system's already complicated. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't want to
do something. So there's an article in the Globe today about shingles and the vaccine and how difficult it is to get. But I'm curious, like, what if we headed up to Canada? Could we get it in Canada?
Yeah, I don't know.
Or Mexico. I'm going to tell you... So
Mexico.
Yeah. I'm going to say this. When I go to Mexico with the rabbit every year, the rabbit does not go to the doctors in the United States. He goes and gets his physicals down in Mexico because it's like $12 for to get his physical. He gets
Ralph, I wouldn't even do that.
He gets his you can buy over the counter, you can buy Zithromax. He gets like five things of Zithromax.
What's Zithromax?
It's like penicillin.
Penicillin, yeah. You know, he goes and sees Dr. Jose Jimenez.
So hold it. Why does he stock up on Zithromax?
Why does he stock up on penicillin in Mexico?
No, because if you get sick,
that won't help. Zithromax doesn't help with the flu.
No, but you know, if like an infection.
If you have pneumonia, it would help with pneumonia.
Yeah. So he just stocks up whether he needs it or not.
Well, because he goes it's down like there, next he ends up getting malaria anyway.
Kate's going to kill you. He's like the whole Mexican travel industry is going right down the tubes because of Ralph to Georgia.
Or it's going to increase now that I know everybody. I can go get a $12 physical. No.
He gets his haircuts down Viagra. There. He goes. We go down there. He goes get his haircut. He gets
his
physical. Yeah, because
he gets a haircut, a physical.
A little reach around.
Manny Petty for $11.95.
No, the massage on the beach. You get a massage on the beach. An hour-long massage for $12 on the beach.
Happy ending?
Wow.
It's out in the open. I hope not.
No,
I hope they're not giving me the happy
ending. You guys are reading into that wrong.
How do you read into
that?
Happy
you just
ending?
Said a happy ending.
No, is the person happy?
You're making Kim blush now. Stop with your nonsense. We just got over the Baby It's Cold Outside song, and now you're talking about happy endings.
So can
what
you
else do we have,
Viagra?
Joe?
He can get you Viagra, yeah.
I mean, not that I need it.
Except down there,
everybody always says, can you give me some Viagra? And it's almost like obligatory that they say, not that I need it.
Yeah.
It's not a blue pill. Down there, it's red. And whatever you do, do not dump it down the toilet. Right, Kim?
Right.
Yes. So we'll have a major, major influx of herring population.
Did you know that male testosterone levels in developed countries have gone down like 30%?
That does not surprise me at all because our society has made us so soft.
No, they think it's because it's the levels of the it's because of the levels of the hormones in the drinking water and stuff like that. So.
Kim, can I ask why you know that?
Yeah, where do you read this sort of stuff?
Kim, that, we need you to do some additional research for the...
Well, they also say that the girls are getting the boobies earlier because there's big time. There's hormones, right?
No, yeah,
in the milk.
Yeah, in the milk.
Yeah.
So
that must explain mine then.
No,
I don't even want to explain. Thank God there's not a video because he's like caressing his breasts as he says. That must explain mine. He's got his hands caressing
Joe.
Breasts.
I saw it.
We can't unsee that, unfortunately.
I'm sticking a fork in my eye right now.
My breasts are getting so big. Ever since I moved to Gloucester, it must be the water. Hormones in the water.
Well, you're in a restaurant every 25 minutes. What the hell do you expect?
Yeah, and you're with me.
We're just trying to keep the,
local economy.
Local economy going.
That's right.
That's right. Yeah.
Okay, moving on because we have the world's longest podcast going right now.
This could be Bruce Haas' podcast.
He can talk.
He can talk.
Bruce can talk.
The politicians are great. Loquacious mean? I know what loquacious means.
We're gonna be very respectful.
Yes.
But he took what should have been a 15-minute segment, and he put it into an hour and 9 minutes.
That's why we love him.
Bruce, sorry, I wasn't here last week, but I missed it. I would love to.
No, I really been here. Bruce.
He can tell a story. He's you know what the funny thing is? He made it into an hour and nine, but they were all interesting minutes because he is a great storyteller.
Yeah, really
Kim, why don't you give us the winged creature update?
Winged creature update. I don't know.
Is that what you say? Winged? Yeah. How do you say it?
I say winged. I think winged is better than winged. Yeah, that sounds like
you winged it. You winged it across the room.
Well, we have some good snowy owl numbers going on right now. There's some at Salisbury Beach, and some at Parker River, and some at Cranes Beach. I haven't seen any around here yet.
What's the difference between Parker River and Cranes? Those are two different, different places.
Yeah. So you. Cranes is part of the Trustees of Reservation. That's in Ipswich. You just keep going further, and that's a barrier beach, just like Coffins Beach is a barrier beach. Then we have Cranes Beach is a barrier beach. Then you keep going further north, and then you swing out, and that's Plum Island. And that's also, Plum Island is basically a barrier beach, and the southern, I would say at least three-quarters of Plum Island is Parker River National Wildlife Refuge. And at the very, very tip of that is Sandy Point, which is the state wildlife refuge.
Yeah.
So there are a number of snowy owls around. I was filming one, and I was just real, I was crouched down, and it was just, you know, because there were two, right, in close proximity of each other.
Did you have your camouflage on?
No.
She had her Canada Goose jacket on.
Yeah, I had my warm jacket on because it was 22 degrees out.
So how could you go take pictures of birds and you killed 30 geese that are in your jacket?
Well,
they're not endangered. There's a difference. That's the thing.
Yeah. All right,
and
anyway,
stop starting trouble, Chris.
While one was flying away from another one, right, the other one didn't see me. So I was crouched down really low, and one flew, and it landed like 8 feet away from me.
Wow.
And so, and he didn't, I didn't know there was a second one at that time, and he didn't know I was there. And I got this, like, amazing close-up footage of them, and then he flew off.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's really awesome. So, and then they had like a little skirmish way, way out in the water.
That's awesome.
So then while I was there filming the snowies, there was a flock of snow buntings, and I went back the next day, and the snow buntings were gone, but there was a beautiful flock of red poles in. So we have, you know, they're not staying that long. I'm wondering if the snowies are scaring them away.
Oh,
cause,
yeah.
Yeah, because they eat them. So, yeah, so... Each flock of these beautiful birds, migrating birds, only stay for like a day or so, and then I don't see them again. So
you're capturing them, right?
Yeah, got some amazing photos of the red poles.
Speaking of birds eating birds, Joe, don't you have breaking news from one of the lobstermen?
Oh, that's right. Mark Ring just told me The Bald Eagle is on 10.0 right now.
Right now, yeah, I wish I could.
No, but that's not the breaking news, Father.
I wish so much I could.
He had a piping plover in his mouth. No, he did. No. He did. Didn't he say that?
No. They're all down in Turks and Caicos. What are you talking about?
There's no piping plovers around here. Might have had something else.
He said there was a piping plover.
They're down in the Carolinas.
Might have something else in his mouth.
Such a ball buster.
Such an asshole. No, listen, we would see Hedwig, the snowy owl that was here right last year, that was right near your house. We would see her every night, either like she leave the hotel roof and go straight down and get a shrew or a mouse or a rat, or she'd go further out to sea and come back with a snow, like a sea duck in her mouth. So,
really?
Yeah.
A sea duck?
A little sea
duck.
They
pluck a sea duck right out of the water.
Just pluck them right out. Holy shit. Yeah. So,
that's what I'd be worried if they were going to pluck your eyes out.
I wouldn't be surprised. No, that wasn't going
to happen. Be careful.
I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, did you know that snowy owls do eat piping plovers?
They do?
Yeah, because this summer, a lot of the snowy owls remained on the beaches as the piping plovers were arriving. And so when they cough up their owl pellets and they dissect the owl pellets, they would find adult piping plover heads in the owl pellets. So piping plovers.
Nice. That's why I bought Chris a white jacket with the wings on the back of it. He's going to have him lay down on the beach.
What are pellets? Poop?
No, so... Okay, snowy owls and snowy owls, for example, have two stomachs. And so the part that they can digest goes into one, and the part that they can't digest goes into the other stomach. And then they cough that up. Oh. And so it's really cool. Like, I filmed Hedwig doing that. It's like a thing like this big. It looks like they're coughing up a whole rat or something when you see it happening. But then you can look at that's how they know what they're eating, what their
diet
is.
Do they poop, too?
Yeah, they poop, too. Really? Yeah.
So Kim is the namer, has been entrusted as the namer of the snowies. So she's the only, some other people try to name the snowy owls on the back shore and stuff, and she says, no. That's the unofficial name. The official name is Hedwig. And because she is the namer of
Is Hedwig really a snowy owl?
Yes, we really
She named it.
Yeah, because...
And if anyone calls it anything else...
No, listen.
The wrath of Kim comes down.
No, actually, somebody suggested that name to me, so I didn't officially name it. And so
you gave it credence.
Right, we had a female, and we called her Hedwig, and we had a male, and we called him Bubo. But then somebody named the one up at Salisbury Beach. Dave Fernandes told me the name that they gave the one at Salisbury Beach.
Did you go up there and lay down the hammer of the gods and tell them that you're the only one that can officially name
the keeper
of the snowies?
Guess what his name was? I didn't name this one. It was El Diablo.
Oh,
Nice. A little spice.
Yeah.
So, Chris, there's still a chance for you. We get me named after you.
If we have a resident one this year.
El Bresto.
She's a girl.
El Bresto.
El Man Bresto.
Oh my god. If we have any listeners left at this point, they just got there when you
turned. They fell asleep.
They fell asleep.
Come back, listeners. Disappear. Come back. Come back.
El Man Bresto. Were grossed out.
Mano Bubo. Well, you did name one Bubo.
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 Bubo. Bubo. He's called. Do you know why?
Bubo.
Do you know why I called him that? Because the Latin name is Bubo Scandiacus. And so I thought it would be a way for people to learn the Latin name for it. So that's why he's called Bubo.
That's very nice.
Yeah.
Ooh, wonderful.
Try to get a little science lesson in there.
And among the poopy talk.
Amongst all the poopy talk. And poopy and booby talk.
Poopy and
boobies. And boobies.
All right, when Kim starts getting out of control.
Yeah. Kim.
Do you know what I used to say to my kids when they wanted to talk bathroom talk?
What?
I would say, if you have to talk bathroom talk, you have to go in the bathroom.
They fell for that?
That's how you got them to do a party?
No, I would say if you have to talk bathroom, you know, we'd be at the table and, you know, kids start with just like you guys do.
Children, like the children, the adult children.
And I'd say if you have to talk that way, if you have to talk bathroom talk, then you need to go into the bathroom and we'd stop talking bathroom talk.
All right, Kim, it's time to put the bottle back into your pocketbook. What are you drinking today? What are you drinking this Sunday?
She had the nut.
Eggnog with vodka. Yeah. In it.
Was there some bourbon? In
it was a, she's gone crazy. I think we got a, it's official. We made her crazy.
I think it's a Santa baby situation with a spiked eggnog.
We are converting Kim. She's becoming as bad as we are.
There you go. All right, so save the date. December 29th. Wow. Gloucester Stage. It's 7 happening.
O'clock.
7 o'clock. Come at 6. Doors open at 6 because we're gonna mingle.
Mingle first.
We're going to mingle.
Okay.
We got to mingle.
All right.
All right. Gloucester Cast 310 is in the books. Thanks for coming, guys.